Well, I've titled the sermon, The Work and Witness of a Gospel-Centered Mom. And I've been moving through books of the Bible and sitting and reading them all together and finding just new things. It's a new angle on things, and it's been a joy. I was in Thessalonians a couple weeks back, and I found a text in there. It's not maybe your typical Mother's Day text, but I want to use it today because I think there's things that we can gain, observations to make and encouragements, and there's words in here that will build moms, I believe. So join me, page 986, if you have a blue Bible. If you brought yours from home, good work, mark it up, get a pen, and as we move through the text here, you might find some words to circle or underline. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, let me begin reading there. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. James, down just a hair, man. Thanks. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked day and night that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, of how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. So here's the context. There has been some people making false accusations, kind of smearing Paul and his crew. And this is the church in Thessalonica. There's a letter that he is writing to the Thessalonians. And he is, in a sense, defending the ministry that he had when he was there. So I find it fascinating as we make observations of just how did Paul minister to his people? What was it that he did? How did he interact with them? What was it that he brought to them? What was his heart? What was his motive? What was at work when he poured himself out for this church? And then I got to thinking, you know, there are parallels here at work all over the place of the work of motherhood, of gospel-centered motherhood. And so what I'd like to do today, it's not an exhaustive list, but I encourage you to pull out your sermon notes and fill in some of these things. I've made 9 observations from this text that I want to point out and encourage you to fill in, take notes, and build in whatever you fill in the blanks here. But want to consider how Paul's ministry would parallel that of a mom. What does it look like to mother and minister in the way that Paul did in a care over the church in Thessalonica? Okay? So, number one, in verse 4, let's read it. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Stop right there. A gospel-centered mom. This would be a mom who has come in contact with Christ. Her eyes have been opened to see Christ. She has realized that she is a sinner in need of salvation. She cannot save herself. There is only one hope for her, and that is the man, Jesus Christ, the one with no sin, sent by God to take and nail her sins to the cross and then go and die her death and then in victory raise from the dead after 3 days to sit at the right hand of the Father to offer free life in his name to anyone who believes. Gospel. Gospel-centered moms. Those moms who have experienced that transforming event in their life. They have been approved by God. Approved by God, and then I would put words maybe approved and entrusted. They have been entrusted then with the gospel. Approved by God in Christ and entrusted, called to go, right? Make disciples, put on a mission. The reason you walk the earth is to bring God glory and to share your faith. You shine as a light in a dark place. So here, as we consider what Paul did in Thessalonica, we see gospel-centered moms set apart and approved by God and then entrusted with the gospel. And then I was thinking, you know, another way to consider this word entrusted is for those women who have been entrusted with children. The gift of God, right? For some, it's been years. For some, it's still a question. Will we have kids? We don't know. Ginny and I, we had a miscarriage, and it was a very difficult time. Some of you here have experienced that. To have children is to be entrusted to mold and shape. Mothers who have kids, you have been entrusted with something very, very precious. So consider your children as your primary mission field. Your children are, in many ways, your primary mission field. This would be in prayer that your spouse is a believer as well. And if not, there is also a primary mission field in view, okay? But your kids, God gives them, he entrusts them to your care, and you have been improved and entrusted with the gospel. So then, mission field. Children, let me tell you about what's happened to me, right? So approved and entrusted. What would it look like, moms, to wake up in the morning and always consider your children, regardless of their age, your mission field for that day? What does it look like then to engage with them in everyday life, coming home from school? Tell me about school. What can I point out of the grace of God, of truth, of error? How can we engage this world in such a way that I am constantly gospel-centered in my mothering of these kiddos that have been entrusted to my care? Now, this assumes the father's involvement, but it's not Father's Day yet. We'll get to you guys. Don't worry. Finger here. Okay. Me too. Approved and entrusted. So, point number two, let's go on. We do not speak, verse 4, we do not speak to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Okay? Paul was clear on this point. He was not interested in making everybody happy. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to, in love, impart truth and to be a worker approved before God, to please and honor God with his ministry. Moms, you as well have to have this in view. There have been times where the path that Jenny and I have really felt led to follow as the Lord has guided us is that Jenny would see as her primary ministry beyond our marriage as the kids. And that would mean that if we go without, then fine. But that is where we will commit ourselves for these years while the kids are under our roof. We want to be at home. And so this label sometimes is ascribed, well, you're a stay-at-home mom. And then sometimes these words will follow. So you don't work? And we you know, initially we're like, whoa, what? You know? Yeah, you know. No, Jenny never did that. Yeah, I would, you know. So I don't want to get you in trouble in any way. So. But do you see what happens there? What do you mean, work? Absolutely. Moms work. Their work never ends. Their work never ends. It is work. Endless work. In fact, we watched the news the other day, and they're finally starting to realize some of the perception out there and what offense can be sent. And so they did a wage comparison. If we paid moms to do the jobs that they did at home, what was it, over $120,000 a year? And we were kind of like, I don't know how you get that number, but whatever it is, it's priceless. The work of a mom in the home is a priceless thing. It's valued by God. This isn't to say that if you work outside of the home, that there's a problem there. We're just suggesting here that there is a culture and a climate that's built upon the thing that says you are what you produce. You are what you produce. If you do not earn a wage for services rendered, then there is somehow less a priority placed upon that. Oh, stay-at-home mom, housewife. You've heard these things. Okay? So, mother to please God. The goal isn't fight back and try to show how valuable you are in your home. No, we can spend our whole life trying to change the culture around here to value moms and home. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. So don't get into arguments about all of this, that, and the other. Housewife, stay-at-home mom, this, that, and the other. Look, mother to please God, not men. Don't work to try to earn the culture's approval. Work hard to please the Lord. That's what Paul gave himself to in his ministry to this church. And as your primary mission field, moms, work hard to entrust and foster gospel for your children. And then let that be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the culture doesn't get it, that's okay. It's all right. Okay, we'll move on. Well, here, Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know that it's actually a sin to worry more about what people think about you than what the Lord thinks about you? It's offensive to the Lord that we would care more about others' opinions of us than we would God himself. The fear of man is how we describe this. And Proverbs just calls it out. It will be a snare. You will never, ever find satisfaction or approval there. Work to please the Lord. Work to please the Lord. Find your approval through his Son in Christ and please him with your life. Okay, let's move on. We're on verse 5 now. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. Okay, so what Paul is saying here is this ministry was not Paul-centered. The work that we came wasn't about us. We came in love to pour ourselves out for you. So again, you see this constantly with mothers. They pour and pour and give and work seems endless, and it just keeps going. I recall early on in Michigan after we had Ethan, our bedroom was upstairs. It wasn't that big of a house, so you could hear a lot, and Ethan would cry. He was on the main floor. And, you know, first baby, this whole thing, you're like, wait a second, we're sleeping, bud. You got to go back to sleep, man. We're sleeping here. What are you crying about? You know, there's the dad's response. And but here goes Jen down the stairs faithfully. And then from time to time, I would hear just a quiet song in the night as she rocked and cared for those kids. Something of glory there as she poured herself out to nurture and care and provide for those kiddos. Let us all learn from this. And moms, be encouraged, mother selflessly. Pour yourself out for your children. Mother selflessly. I see that as a call that Paul sets forward. Look, this isn't about us. This isn't about us. In fact, here's an encouragement from the Word. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look, if we live this way, moms, we confirm the cross. We hold out a display to the children. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a bondservant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, moms, when you pour yourself out for your kids, point to the cross. This is selfless mothering. You pour yourself out for them. And you give to them. I hear a little radio. I'm going to turn this thing off. Maybe it'll help. From time to time, we get a little radio station in here, and I begin to wonder if the Holy Spirit's talking in my ear down here. So, pour yourself out. Mother selflessly. Let's move on to verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul says, look, we weren't in this for our own glory. We didn't want you to make much of us. Don't put us on a pedestal. This isn't about us. Be reminded of that. It's not for our glory. And I consider this, and I just think, when no one else notices, you know, this is like when he's away at work, the kids are sleeping, or, you know, when you're on your knees in prayer and the kids are out of the home, there's no one around to notice, but you pour yourself out for the mission field that God has entrusted to you. You give yourself wholly. This is mothering to the glory of God. Mother to the glory of God. The world couldn't have enough Mother's Days to make right the appreciation of all the work that mothers do. We couldn't. So, with that in view, mother to the glory of God. Make it about His glory. When you are changing diapers, you can literally change the most terrible diaper to the glory of God. I have never experienced that, but I know it's possible. Okay? I've seen my wife handle it. I worked at it, but I struggle sometimes, I gotta admit. Changing diapers to the glory of God. Making breakfast to the glory of God. Whatever it is that you do, mother to the glory of God. At whatever age your kids are, set it in that place and you will find a joy and a source of strength that you never imagined. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If no one ever says, honey, I can't believe what an amazing job you did. Yeah, I hardly even noticed that, and I'm sorry. If that never comes, guess what? God is your witness. It is His glory that you shine as you serve and pour yourself out. Mother to the glory of God. Verse 7, God is witness. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And the title that came to mind here is, there are certain things guys just can't do. Okay? This is unique opportunity that is given to the mom to care and nurture the children. Certain things just guys can't do. This is, I think, something of a display of God's glory that Paul noticed. Do you see how he references this? Look, we're caring for you like a mother cares for a nursing child. It's the affection, the love, the patience. This is not easy, right? And yet, some of those moments, I imagine you moms wouldn't trade for the world. Yeah. There are certain things guys just can't do. So mother gently, moms. Mother gently. This is an encouragement. There are times where kids will frustrate you and you are ready to pull your hair out and it's just like, show me the window so I can jump out it. Right? In those times, mother gently. Mother gently. There were times where I deserved the rod and grace came. I knew my error, my sin, and yet my mom dealt in grace. And it communicated volumes. It wasn't about her exercising her own demand for expression of anger. She showed grace at times that meant more than the response of the rod and the judgment that I knew was coming my way for what I did. Mother gently. It says, it is your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Moms, mother gently. Show this, no matter what age your kids are. Show it. Recall those quiet nights, those nursing years, and mother gently. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Paul says, look, this is how we minister. This is how we want to minister. See them as your mission field and mother gently. Number 6, verse 8. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Moms, I hate to break it, but it's reality. Guess what? You're sinners. You're sinners. Moms are sinners too. So I think the call here that Paul says is, mother authentically. Look, he didn't simply preach the gospel to the Thessalonians and then just hold it out and say, look, just do it. He was with them. He showed them his life. He gave them his heart. He cared for them. He lived with them. They saw his rough edges. They saw he was just a sinner saved by grace. He never moved on from that. He held his sin before him. He was a real guy that had been transformed in an amazing way by Jesus Christ. So moms, mother authentically. It's okay for your kids to know that you're a sinner. They need to know it. I look back sometimes at the interaction I had with my mom when she blew it. And she did. Sometimes she would blow it. She would think of a situation and react assuming this or that. Sometimes she would get upset and her anger would find a way to display itself. And we all knew, okay, mom's a sinner, you know. No news there. But I wanted to know, did she know it? Do you know you're a sinner, Mom? That was my question as a kid. And when she would come and say, kids, sit down. I'm sorry. I blew it. I shouldn't have done what I did. I overreacted. I jumped to conclusions. I did this, that. Will you forgive me, kids? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Your mommy is a sinner too. Oh, man. Gospel singing erupts in a child's heart when they understand that their mom needs Jesus as much as we do, the kids. It's okay to be a sinner, saved by grace. Paul says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works. You didn't earn this. No one's boasting here. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared by God that we should walk in them. Okay? Mother, authentically. Be real with your children. Verse 9. Remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel. Paul worked hard. He had a trade. He was a tent maker. And they would do this to try to be as put as light a footprint as possible upon the place where they were ministering. They didn't want to be a burden. And so Paul worked hard. And as he worked with diligence. And look at this. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God. So if you have been around a mom for any length of time, you know that there are times where moms are magnificently exhausted. And I think that is glorious. That is to the glory of God. Pour yourself out for your mission field. Let them see it's real. And sometimes moms just get tired out. So I would just say here, one lesson that we can capture from this is work hard at mothering. It's hard work. No one promised that you'd be tiptoeing through the tulips as a mom. From day one, I was stunned at how hard it was. I looked back after we had little kids especially, and I called my mom. I'm like, good grief, you did this? How in the world? Work hard at mothering. Don't fall into the trap of, hey, 50-50, I'll do this for you. Now give me my space. Or, I'll take care of this and that, but don't mess with my favorite show. I turn the switch off. I'm a mom until a certain point, and then the switch goes off, and you figure it out. Don't fall into that trap. Mothering is hard work. Spend yourself there. Pour yourself out on that mission field. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Don't fall into the trap. Don't make excuses. It's hard work. Find your strength in Christ. Live and pour yourself out for the glory of God. But work hard at mothering. It's hard work. There's no way else around it. Verse 9. Okay, the last part of verse 9. We didn't want to be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. So day and night, night and day, the gospel was going forth. Whether they were working, whether they were ministering in prayer, wherever they were eating, walking along the way, waking up in the morning, sleeping, laying down at night, gospel goes out. Gospel goes out. So the most important message, moms, be tireless in sharing the gospel. Don't ever give up on the gospel with your kids. I don't care how far they have run in rebellion. I don't care how much they say they don't care. Don't let up in praying for and sharing with them the gospel. They're watching. They are watching you. And at the point that you write them off, well, I guess we did all we could. No, keep at it. Keep at it. No matter what age they are, never tire in sharing with them the good news of the gospel. In fact, some of the guys I really respect have had children who have run with all their might out of the church. And they will not tire in sharing the gospel. And the glory of the song when their son or their daughter sees Christ and runs back and says, oh, it's good to be home. Kill the fatted calf, right? Never tire. No one is never out of the reach of the grace of God. Be tireless in sharing the gospel. Verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct to you, toward you believers. I would just say, this is a final observation, speaking and living the gospel. It's not enough simply to just do good things. There are a lot of people who have good morals around. They do stuff. So we attend church, we do this, we pray every meal, we don't run people over when we're driving. I don't know. What, this is morality. That's not the gospel. It's not. Speak it. Speak the words of Christ and the cross. Speak of sin and wrath and hell and hope and love and grace. We got to speak these words and then live them. Live them. I would say it this way. Let your life confirm your words. Boy, kids, they are so tuned in to this right here. You want to find rebellious kids, you ask them questions. What is it that you run from in the church? First answer, hypocrisy. People who say a bunch of stuff and then they don't do it. You want to run your mission field right out the back door of the church, fall into that. You should do this. Well, I do this. Right? Moms, let your life confirm your words. Let the gospel run through your words and the song of your life. And foster that gospel environment in the mission field that's yours. I did a little research this past week on Susanna Wesley. There are countless women. Women in this church we could hold out and say, be like them. Be like this woman. Be like this woman. Look at what she's doing. You look through the halls of church history, unbelievable women of God who have done unbelievable things for the kingdom of God. Susanna Wesley is one. She was born in England, time of upheaval. She married a man who struggled to make money. They had 19 children. At that, I about fell out of my chair. Of her 19 children, when she died, only 8 were alive. She lost 2 sets of twins at birth. Right there. 4 kids. Gone. Right off the top. I mean, unbelievable grief. At that one point, she had a housekeeper literally smother one of her children. How do you deal with that? You have all these kids, all of this responsibility. And yet she worked hard. She set herself in the Word. Those kids respected her. When the hood would go up, you don't mess with Mom, she's in the book. Give her time in the Word, right? And then she would teach these kids with great care how to study the Word, and they would learn all kinds of things. And then there would be 1 hour out of the week where each child would get Mom one-on-one for an hour. But it wasn't just, hey, let's go to McDonald's. This was, son, I'd like to know how you're growing in the Lord. Tell me what you've seen of him that just blows your mind. Tell me about sin in your life. Is there anything in your life this past week that you need to confess before God and deal seriously with? What about your heart? What about your thinking? What about memorization? And she would walk with these kids, shepherd them, mission field. She wanted to change the world, and she started with her children. It so happens that God would ordain that two of her sons, you might know their names, John and Charles Wesley, brothers who were blessed by a faithful example of a mom who was gospel-centered, nonstop, they turned England upside down with the gospel. We benefit today from the gospel work that those men did. Susanna Wesley changed the world through the mission field that God put in front of her. Moms, I just encourage you, hang in there. This is not easy. It's not easy. For those of you who have kids at home, for those of you who are already sent them out on the road, for those of you who are, you know, our grandparents already, keep at it. Don't let up. For those of you who are waiting for this to come, be ready. Grow, prepare yourself, root yourself. Gospel-centered moms bring great glory to God. We need a church full of gospel-centered moms. So be encouraged today. This is your day. We give praise and honor to the Father God for you and the example that you set. Let's pray. Lord, it is for your glory that we point out our moms today in this church, those who work so hard. We look at the example of Paul here, and we see so many parallels from this work of motherhood. I pray that you would be the rock, the strength, the shelter in the times of storm for the moms in this church and those who hear this message. I pray that you would be strong and close and comforting, and that you would be the resolve that when the work is just so heavy, that you would give strength and encourage, keep at it, don't let up. Lord, root these moms who are in this church, root them in the gospel. Help them never tire of singing the gospel song to their children and the other kids in our church. Lord, we need moms to be gospel-centered. This work is your work. We thank you for the good work that you are doing right now already, for the fruit that we see as we look around. Unbelievable ministry has already happened here. Lord, lay a foundation for years to come of gospel-centered mothering. And we, oh God, will be quick to point it out as your work and give praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.